The Secret Door to Success, Chapter 3. And five of them were wise. My subject is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The parable teaches that true prayer means preparation. Jesus Christ said, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Matthew 21:22. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24. In this parable, he shows that only those who have prepared for their good, thereby showing active faith, will bring the manifestation to pass. We might paraphrase the scriptures and say, when you pray, believe you have it. When you pray, act as if you have already received. Armchair faith or rocking chair faith will never move mountains. In the armchair, in the silence or meditation, you're filled with the wonder of this truth and feel that your faith will never waver. You know that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall never want. You feel that your God of plenty will wipe out all burdens of debt or limitations. And then you leave your armchair and step out into the arena of life. And it's only what you do in the arena that counts. I'll give you an illustration showing how the law works. For faith without action is dead. A man, one of my students, had a great desire to go abroad. He took the statement, "I give thanks for my divinely designed trip, divinely financed, under grace, in a perfect way." He had very little money, but knowing the law of preparation, he bought a trunk. It was a very gay and happy trunk with a big red band around its waist, and whenever he looked at it, it gave him a realization of a trip. One day he seemed to feel his room moving. He felt the motion of a ship. He went to the window to breathe the fresh air, and it smelled like the aroma of the dock. With his inner ear, he heard the shriek of a seagull and the creaking of the gangplank. The trunk had commenced to work. It had put him in the vibration of his trip. Soon after that, a large sum of money came to him, and he took the trip. He said afterwards that it was perfect in every detail. In the arena of life, we must keep ourselves tuned up to concert pitch. Are we acting from motives of fear or faith? Watch your motives with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. If your problem is a financial one, and it usually is, you must know how to wind yourself up financially and keep wound up by always acting your faith. The material attitude towards money is to trust in your salary, your income, and investments, which can shrink overnight. The spiritual attitude toward money is to trust in God for your supply, to keep your possessions, always realize that they are God in manifestation. What Allah has given cannot be diminished. Then if one door shuts, another door immediately opens. Never voice lack or limitation, for by your words you are condemned. You combine with what you notice, and if you're always noticing failure and hard times, you will combine with failure and hard times. You must form the habit of living in the fourth dimension, the world of the wondrous. It's the world where you do not judge by appearances. You've trained your inner eye to see through failure into success, to see through sickness into health, to see through limitation into plenty. I will give you the land which you thou seest. The man who achieves success has the fixed idea of success. If it's founded on a rock of truth and rightness, it will stand. If not, it's built upon sand and washed into the sea, returning to its native nothingness. Only divine ideas can endure. Evil destroys itself, for it's a cross current against universal order, and the way of the transgressor is hard. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The lamp symbolizes man's consciousness. The oil is what brings light or understanding. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." The foolish virgins were without wisdom or understanding, which is oil for the consciousness. And when they were confronted with a serious situation, they had no way of handling it. And when they said to the wise, "Give us of your oil," the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." That means that the foolish virgins could not receive more than was in their consciousness or what they were vibrating to. The man received the trip because it was in his consciousness as a reality. He believed that he had already received. As he prepared for the trip, he was taking oil for his lamps. With realization comes manifestation. The law of preparation works both ways. If you prepare for what you fear or don't want, you begin to attract it. David said, "The thing I feared has come upon me." We hear people say, "I must put away money in case of illness." They are deliberately preparing to be ill. Or, "I'm saving for a rainy day." Well, the rainy day is sure to come at a most inconvenient time. The divine idea for every man is plenty. Your barns should be full and your cup should flow over. But we must learn to ask aright. For example, take this statement. "I call on the law of accumulation. My supply comes from God and now pours in and piles up under grace." This statement does not give any picture of stint or saving or sickness. It gives a fourth dimensional feeling of abundance, leaving the channels to infinite intelligence. Every day, you must make a choice. Will you be wise or foolish? Will you prepare for your good? Will you take the giant swing into faith? Or serve doubt and fear and bring no oil for your lamps? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." You may feel that the foolish virgins paid dearly for neglecting to bring oil for their lamps, but we're dealing with the law of karma or the law of comeback. It's been called the judgment day, which people usually associate with the end of the world. Your judgment day comes, they say, in sevens. 7 hours, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, or 7 years. It may even come in 7 minutes. Then you pay some karmic debt, the price for having violated spiritual law. You failed to trust God. You took no oil for your lamps. Every day, examine your consciousness and see just what you're preparing for. You're fearful of lack and hang on to every cent, thereby attracting more lack. Use what you have with wisdom, and it opens the way for more to come to you. In my book, Your Word is Your Wand, I tell about the magic purse. In the Arabian Nights, they tell the story of a man who had a magic purse. As money went out, immediately money appeared in it again. So I made the statement, my supply comes from God. I have the magic purse of the Spirit. It can never be depleted. As money goes out, immediately money comes in. It's always crammed, jammed with abundance, under grace, in perfect ways. This brings a vivid picture to mind. You're drawing on the bank of the imagination. A woman who didn't have much money was afraid to pay any bills and see her bank account dwindle. It came to her with great conviction. I have the magic purse of the Spirit. It can never be depleted. As money goes out, immediately money comes in. She fearlessly paid her bills, and several large checks came to her that she did not expect. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into the temptation of preparing for something destructive instead of something constructive. I knew a woman who told me she always kept a long crepe veil handy in case of funerals. I said to her, you're a menace to your relatives and are preparing to hurry them all off so that you can wear the veil. She destroyed it. Another woman who had no money decided to send her two daughters to college. Her husband scorned the idea and said, who will pay their intuition? I have no money for that. And she replied, I know some unforeseen good will come to us. She kept on preparing her daughters for college. Her husband laughed heartily and told all their friends that his wife was sending the girls to college on some unforeseen good. A rich relative suddenly sent her a large sum of money. Some unforeseen good did arrive, for she had shown active faith. I asked what she'd said to her husband when the check arrived. She replied, oh, I never antagonize George by telling him I'm in the right. So prepare for your unforeseen good. Let every thought and every act express your unwavering faith. Every event in your life is a crystallized idea, something you've invited through either fear or faith, something you've prepared for. So let us be wise and bring oil for our lamps. And when we least expect it, we shall reap the fruits of our faith. My lamps are now filled with the oil of faith and fulfillment.